is the Day Zero Update for September 30th, 2018. I'm Filippo Gianolfo.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And it's been kind of an eventful week this week. We've had a few interesting stories, the culmination of one that we've been following for basically the past entire year when it comes to Sony. So we're going to get to that in just a bit. But before we do, I want a little mea culpa on the PlayStation Classic from last week. Mm-hmm. Seems I mistakenly assumed that it would support physical memory cards. No, it does not do that. the photos should have probably tipped me off to that, in the fact that they don't actually have physical slots. So that was one thing. But yes, I misspoke and misheard, since I use text-to-speech at 3x speed. Sometimes you miss a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So, my bad. And, I'm not too proud to admit when I make a mistake. So, yeah.
I told you.
Yeah, you told me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm confirming what you told me. Yeah. So, we're all good there. And, so we've been playing some stuff this week. For me, it's been it's still in the Shining Force GBA. I'm still making my way through those games and still enjoying them considerably. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to try out Shining Resonance Refrain for some reason. It's going to be a completely different type of game, but yeah, it might be worth a might be fun to try it. So
gotta know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. I do like the fact that they added a completely separate side story into it. Which happens in parallel with the main one. So, that's kind of fun. It's well expanded. It's better written than the original.
Yep.
Good stuff. And apart from that, I've also been doing more of the emulators. This week, it's been mostly CXBX Reloaded, which is an original Xbox emulator. That's one system that's kind of taken a really long time to get emulated, and now it's at a point now where it's pretty decent, but you really need some pretty beefy hardware to run it. It's not one of those high-level emulators. It's very reliant on brute force.
Yep.
But it gets the job done so far. I'm sure they're going to be optimizing as time goes on, but I was able to play on my system DOA 3, because that's the only disc I could find off the top of my head here. Mm-hmm. It was running at 60 frames per second. I had no problems, except for a couple graphical glitches here and there. Like, some of the mm-hmm. translucency didn't quite work. Some of the polygons were just, like, randomly sticking out of the floor for no apparent reason. Mm. Little stuff like that. But an emulator that's just coming out onto the scene, very impressive with what I'm seeing. So, I like all of the emulators because I like making my PC do things it was never intended to. And besides, I gotta, use all those 12 threads for something, right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So that's been it for me. How about you, Brandon?
I have been playing Valkyria Chronicles 4, which I, of course, am also going to be reviewing. Mm-hmm. And, it's basically, it's actually only the second Valkyria Chronicles game that has been released for regular consoles. There's been four Valkyria Chronicles games, obviously, this far. The first one, of course, was for PS3. But the other two that came after that were on PSP. But basically, this is a sort of a side. It happens sort of around the same time that if you played the first Valkyria Chronicles, you'll recognize the time period it takes place in. It's right around, right in the middle of the European War, right around the time before the Empire invades the nation. Gallia, which if that was the location of the first Valkyria Chronicles game, and you were basically playing a resistance force that was sort of fighting the invaders back over the border. In this game, you are part of a group, what's called Operation Northern Cross, part of the proper Federation military, and you're essentially doing a part of a invasion force going into the Empire so that you can hopefully go past the mountains and attack the actual capital of the Empire. It's actually supposed to be, looking at the map and sort of the way it's done, It looks very similar to Operation Barbarossa. That was when Nazi Germany invaded the Soviet Union. Of course, in this case, the roles are reversed. But and then also, that also gives me kind of an idea of how the story is probably going to end, because if you remember how Operation Barbarossa actually went in our timeline, you'll remember that, well, as Napoleon says, if you want to conquer Russia, you better pack some winter clothes. And by, at the point I'm playing now, it's already autumn, so winter is fast approaching. Yeah. And they've already taken a bunch of casualties. So, yeah. But it plays basically almost exactly like the classic Valkyria Chronicles, so it's not that garbage action RPG hybrid that Valkyria Revolutions was. The, you know, you've got your basic units, you've got, you know, the scouts who are your primary, you know, they're the medium powered ones, the basics that can also travel out the farthest to scout out territory. You've got your shock troopers, they're the guys with the machine guns, and they can travel about half the distance of a scout. And you got snipers, which are the only a third of the distance of the scout, but because they have sniper rifles, they can also shoot farther and also, you know, can hit a target with fewer bullets needed. Hmm. And then you got your engineer, who is probably the slightly weaker version of the scout, but he can actually go out and, you know, fix, you know, he can refill ammo, he can, you know, fix, you know, barricades and sandbags and stuff like that. And he can also help repair the tank. Because, again, like in the first game, your main strategy guy is piloting a tank. And then, of course, you got the Lancers. They're the guys who are the most heavily armored, and they also have the only weapon other than a tank that can actually take out another tank with a single shot. And then they introduce a new unit in this game called the Grenadier. And the Grenadier is basically a person with a mortar. They have a mortar cannon, and arguably they could be the second most powerful next to the Lancers, but they're also the slowest because, you know, they're carrying a big-ass mortar around.
Yeah.
And they're also not as heavily, as well-armed as the Lancers are. And that's pretty much the info I've got. It's playing very similar to how I remembered the original Valkyria Chronicles was, and I really do like it so far. So, yeah. So, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so, as I mentioned on Let's Weekend, I wanted to finish up Life is Strange Before the Storm before I started up too. And I managed to get through those three episodes. And it's really quite good. Really does a good job of fleshing out Chloe's relationship with Rachel Amber, as well as just Chloe herself. Mm-hmm. And the bonus episode that is called Farewell, that is where Max and Chloe, mm-hmm. sort of, as they say in the descriptions, like the farewell mm-hmm. episode for those two, as well as getting Ashley Birch back in the role for Chloe,
mm-hmm.
Which takes place actually like right before one of the flashback scenes in the original series. Mm. So Max is a few days out from moving out to Seattle. She has not been able to tell Chloe yet.
Mm-hmm.
So she is trying to figure out how to do this, and sort of in that whole process, they end up finding a tape that they made as, mm-hmm. I think, 8 years old, mm-hmm. about 5 years before this, that they sort of set up a little like pirate treasure hunt for mm-hmm. themselves in the future. And so you kind of do that before kind of things start happening with the move and ties into some of the events that happen in the flashback episode. That yeah, it's a really nice send off for the first season, all those characters, and kind of Arcadia Bay as a whole, as they say in the description, sort of, which then sort of brings me to Life is Strange 2, which is set, I think, 2 years ago, 2016, features two boys, Sean and Daniel Diaz, who are with their dad. I think their mom died, I think. They don't really explicitly state it, but they have some of her stuff in the in their like basement area. So I assume that there wasn't any sort of divorce or anything, as far as I know. But yeah, so if you watch the gameplay preview they put out a few weeks ago, that is the beginning of the game. One of the cool things they do here is you have like an actual inventory. Maybe somewhat like a traditional like adventure game inventory.
Yep.
But sort of the initial thing you're doing is getting ready for a party. So you're like getting snacks, drinks, what else? I think money is one of the things. You talk to your dad about it. I think there's like one or two more things, but you can go and sort of look through your cupboards and fridge and that. And sort of keeping track of, you know, the stuff you get. Unfortunately, they do not get to the party. Something really bad happens. You can probably guess, because they are a Latino family. And they end up going on this road trip down to, I think, Puerto Lobos in Mexico, which is where sort of their father is from.
Yep.
And that inventory system starts coming into play with this. So depending on what you do in the house, you have like a set amount of money to be able to spend on stuff at the store. There is, I don't know if there's like an inventory limit or anything like that. They don't really present anything like that, but it's just a matter of, you know, you buy stuff or whatever. And there's sort of the notion of eating. Like, there's no meters or anything. It's not a survival game. But there's definitely, like, you go into a park and on this, like, hiking trail. You get a couple places where you can, like, go eat the berries. But obviously you want to check. So Sean has some actual hiking experience with his dad. So he notices these, like, trail markers on the trees that people have made before. Sort of highlight, like, safer trails, that sort of stuff. There's a bit of some gathering, and one of the cool things they do is there's, since you have your brother with you, he's kind of an independent AI. He'll point out things, and you have some opportunities to, like, just talk to him about stuff, or there's one point where you're sort of about to set up camp by a river. You can sort of teach him how to skip rocks on the river. Sort of thing, and he's not good at it first, so if you keep trying, he will get better at it. And like when they, at the end of the episode, they show you like all the choices, and it shows you just even lots of little things you could do. And one of the cool things is he, the little brother, is a big Minecraft fan. Like going out into this forest, he's like, oh, if I had a wood axe, I could make a killer base. And I found out in the, like, sort of options screen showing you all the percentage and such, like, you can actually let him make a base. I don't think it's actually going to be anything all that impressive, but I really want to kind of just see that. Probably just look up somebody that did it, see what screenshot they have of it. But yeah, it's a really cool first episode. There is an encounter with the Trumper, who is very distrustful of them being Latino. This is like outside of a store where I just bought some stuff. So he automatically thinks you just stole it and all that. So he's like, well, now you gotta go inside and show me that you bought this stuff. And like calls him a thug, a criminal. Says, this is why we're going to build a wall, sort of stuff. Some real dumb shit, but yeah, there is a power at play. Not definitely not like time travel or anything like that, but yeah, it's pretty interesting. You start to get a few glimpses of it that seems like the next episode, like they're actually gonna try testing it out, like trying to hone it as an actual thing. But yeah, it's a pretty cool first episode. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes through the rest of the season. But yeah, and there is a bit of tie-in to the first season.
Okay.
It's more of a just a tiny bit of fan service. But when you start it up, they ask you, you know, what you did in the at the end of the first season. So yeah, it's really cool. I'm looking forward to playing it some more, and it definitely. Coming off of playing Before the Storm, the graphics look quite a bit better. They definitely have a bigger budget than they did the first time around, which works out, especially when you meet some of the characters early on that have longer hair.
Yeah.
Like, it actually animates.
Yeah. To be fair, though, the graphics were part of the charm of the first game. So.
Yeah, but like actually being able to open up doors and walk into places without it being like a separate area that you have to load into, is something that it still actually does something for me in any game that does it. Like Dragon Quest XI, like anytime I can open up a door and just walk into a building, I'm like, holy shit. But yeah, the way they handle the tech stuff here, it works pretty well for them. And yeah, as for something else, I played Time Spinner, which is a Kickstarter game. Stop me if you heard this before. A Kickstarter game that's been long in development and takes heavy influence from Symphony of the Night.
Like
no, that is
Kickstarter
completely
game?
Novel, and I have never heard it before.
Yeah, it's like...
wow.
Crap. Chasm, that was playing pretty recently. That's a game that I thought was kind of a game that weighed down itself with some of the bullshit from Symphony of the Night. As far as just like doling out the ability upgrades and such, kind of dragging it out, where I didn't really feel good about platforming in that game until near the end. Because you don't get like the double jump or the actual like wall jump until pretty late. Here, I've not played a ton, about an hour or so, and right away you've immediately got the ability to grab onto ledges, so you can have a bit better feel for the platforming here in a way that Chasm didn't get to for probably a good 4 or 5 hours. And the combat feels a lot better up front, though I only have the main orb weapons, which you get at the very beginning of the game, so I have not picked up any new gear or anything like that. Which orbs are just this like basic attack you have, like your ability to like hold these orbs that just orbit around you. And you just shoot them out real quick as like a quick attack. So the story is, I'm still not 100% on the story just yet, but you're at this part of the society that has this like class of people called time spinners. That are able to use this machine to kind of go back in time and undo like really bad events and like catastrophes. And they mentioned some weird part of it that you like remove yourself from the timeline. In a sense, like you kind of undo your existence to those people. So if you're trying to save your town, you will not be like a part of your family or something like that anymore. I haven't seen much, like the intro, they kind of talk a bit about that, but obviously some big attack happens, you have to get to the time spinner to go back in time and hopefully stop things, but they get there sort of right as you're about to go, and they kill your mother, and the machine gets like destroyed in the process, so you don't really have an easy way to go back, though I just found the first piece of the time spinner. So now I assume I'm going to be collecting those and putting them together to go back.
Yeah.
And yeah, so far it's been pretty easy to get around. There's so far there hasn't been a ton of like the yo-yo of where you just find a safe space and kind of just go explore around there, and you feel like you're about to die if you don't be very careful with the combat. Like I got hit quite a bit of times. Like I had like 150 health and I was down to like 60 something when I was done exploring for the session I was just doing before this. So it feels like you have some room to breathe, which is something I never really got out of Chasm. And so that's, so far this has been quite a bit better than Chasm. And I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. I've been playing this on PC because I did not grab the upgrade for the PS4 version.
Okay.
And so playing on dual monitor definitely has a couple of issues. It doesn't like it when you touch anything on the other screen. It'll kind of just put the game into like a pause mode. So if I'm trying to, change a video or something or mess with look something up, it just like pauses in a weird way. I kind of wish PC games would get better about that stuff. It at least doesn't lock the cursor to the game window, like I think many games do. It doesn't have support for DualShock 4, at least for those the buttons. So I'm getting like all Xbox 360 prompts. I kind of wish games would just have solved that by now, like just include all of the button assets. But otherwise, that's just like minor stuff. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. And I think that's been it. How about you, Lee?
Oh yeah,
Know
didn't
if
we have
Pat is.
someone just show up?
Yeah, Pat's
Hey.
joined us.
Hey, dude.
Hi,
So,
Pokey.
what you up to?
I'm still playing NHL 19. The twist on that is that I still haven't gotten around to the career mode that I always play year in and year out, simply because World of Chell is so robust and just thorough that I can't tear myself away from that unless it's to do some franchise mode. So it's something that I plan on doing because it's always been the main way that I play NHL, but it goes back to just how much there is to this game that that I haven't gotten around to it after a couple weeks of it being released.
It sounds like it's a really significant upgrade over 18, not like
It
in
really
just about every way.
it is definitely a landmark installment of NHL just because of how much they added. I probably wouldn't be able to elaborate on that more without regurgitating stuff I've said on past shows, both Day Zero Update and Let's Weekend, but their slogan going into this season was One Hockey because they were just trying to unify all the different ways that there are to enjoy hockey, whether it's arcade or simulation or management or social or whatever. And they've managed to unify that under a single title. And what they've accomplished is really remarkable in that effort.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome.
It's even managed to keep me away from the Soul Calibur 6 beta because every time I sit down and think, okay, I'm gonna play some Soul Calibur now, I just realize, well, it's my Xbox One that I've got connected right now, and NHL 19's good to go, so I might as well just start that up. It's that kind of game.
Yeah. Have you even touched that beta yet, or
Nope.
no?
Nope. I haven't played Soul Calibur 6 since Evo.
So, we'll see how that goes. I think the beta is running for another couple of days, so yeah, you got a
Yeah,
little bit of time.
it's running for the weekend at least, so
Yeah.
if I can tear myself away from NHL long enough to take in a few matches, then we'll see.
Yep. All right, so what about you, Lee?
I've been keeping it gangster. I was on vacation, so I didn't really have much of a chance to do anything this past week. But before I left, I had been playing God of War, and then when I got back, I started playing Forza Horizon because I got back on Friday, and it was sitting on my doorstep, so I decided to give it a shot. And so, you know, just I guess for full disclosure, Forza Horizon 4 is probably my favorite racing game of all time. So I was a little bit skeptical going into this that it was going to be like, you know, what could they really improve? Because I saw the season stuff and I was like, you know, this is kind of gimmicky. I don't know how I feel, and I'm still sort of on the fence. I don't know how I feel about the seasons. However, it does add some interesting stuff for the gameplay, but I do see a ginormous flaw in the game that I'm already having trouble with, and I'm just kind of flabbergasted as to why they put it there. So everybody here, for the most part, has played a Forza Horizon game, right?
Yeah,
right.
I bought the first two.
Okay, so you know particularly in 3, one of the things that was really important with the way that the game worked was that sort of everything that you did led to you getting XP. And then that XP fed a gameplay loop where you got your XP, and that XP would get you things like wheel spins. And wheel spins would let you, you would either get money or you'd get cars. And so like in Horizon 3, if you had the VIP pass for the wheel spins, your credits would get doubled if you had a VIP pass. So they took that away, which I think is really shitty. So, and it's just like kind of like that thing where it's like, okay, you're asking people to pay this money for like a premium edition of a game. And yeah, you can play it a couple of days early, but what are the other actual perks that you get for that amount? And that was one of the things that was really kind of cool, I thought. And so they took that away. So that sucks. But the thing that really is bugging the fuck out of me when I'm playing it is they have a cosmetic system in the game. Like, you actually have an avatar in the game now, and you can dress them up. And I so don't give two shits about that. And what makes it bad is that, like, when you're feeding into that gameplay loop that I feel like Horizon 3 really made perfect, where it was like, okay, you know, you're doing crazy shit in your car, you're just driving around, or whatever you're doing is giving you stuff so you can level up. And then those level ups give you wheel spins, which end up giving you two things. They either give you a car or they give you money. So if you don't get the car that you want, you're at least getting money, so you're going towards being able to buy something that you do want. And then if you get a car that you don't want, you always have the option to sell that to get more money to buy the car that you do want. And so in that way, everything sort of builds on itself, right? They took that away. The wheel spin system and everything still exists, but now they've peppered it with cosmetics. So just to give you an example, like, they have the regular wheel spins, which is – it's just basically a slot machine. And then they have, like, these super wheel spins, which is like a three-piece slot machine. So you get three items from these super wheel spins, right? After, like, my first, I don't know, 6 hours with the game, I had amounted – I'd gotten something like 10 regular wheel spins and 5 of these super wheel spins. I have not won a car yet.
No.
Or money. I keep winning cosmetic items like a fucking sequined hat. I don't give a fuck about any of that shit. Mm. And it's literally made me, like, at one point I was playing last night and I'm like, I don't want to play this bullshit anymore. And I've never felt that way about any of their other games. It's always – the Forza games have always kind of had an addictive property where it's like, okay, you know, let me just do one more race or one more thing. And them throwing these cosmetics in the fucking – in the mix – just completely did away with all of that, to where, like I said, last night I just turned it off. I was like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, I bought this game because I want to fucking race cool cars and do cool shit, not play dress up. And it feels like the game, at least for me, like the RNG portion of it is really skewed towards you playing dress up. And when you couple that with the RNG mechanic of, you know, getting money or getting cars, throwing in like we won a chicken suit the other day. Like, now that in and of itself is actually kind of cool, because like I could be driving around in a fucking McLaren Sienna dressed as a chicken. There's actually some comedy there for me that I actually like. But putting that in a game that's about racing almost feels like the way that Ubisoft treated Assassin's Creed for a while, which was, we have this new version of this that we're putting out, so we got to put something in it. You know, it can't just be, we can't just carbon copy the other game. And so this felt like the thing that they put into it to try and give you something. But it's really stupid. It's really half-baked. And on top of all of that, the models are ugly as fuck. Hmm. Like, your character starts out, like, if you're a dude, as, like, this horrible, like, PS2-looking hipster. And whereas I thought, like, with Forza Motorsport 7, you know, like, the racing outfits, I actually thought looked pretty cool. You just look like a douchebag, which makes it even worse. And it, so you're just like I said, it was the first time I've ever turned one of the games off where I was like, I don't want to play this anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go back to it, obviously, because I, you know, I bought the fucking thing. But it is definitely, it's definitely initially left a pretty poor taste in my mouth, because the other formula stuff that's there for the way that the Horizon games work is awesome. And to be fair, their rendition of what they have with Britain is gorgeous. And the landscapes are a lot more varied, the stuff that you see compared to Forza Horizon 3, which is really nice. But it's just when you really, you know, cock up that gameplay loop, it's really just made it not fun for me. So I haven't been able to tell whether or not the cosmetic items get cycled out. So like eventually I may hit a spot where they don't come up anymore. But that seems to be like a really shitty way to get around a stupid design. Like, well, if you just go through and you lose all your fucking RNG wheel spins to getting this cosmetic bullshit, then you'll start getting the stuff that you actually wanted. Like, so not a big fan of that. So
it sounds like 7 is influencing Forza Horizon quite a bit.
Yes, yeah, I'm not that familiar with 7, so I'm not sure all the shit that they changed.
Like, they put a big emphasis on the suits, like unlocking the suits. Especially with like the crates they have in the game, which also adds these mods, which is, you know, you could do the settings and based on whether you go a little more hardcore or casual, it adjusts your like XP and bonus money.
Yeah,
they put that all in the mods, so you can only equip like 3 of those, and they're kind of like like twist on the settings and such. So like a lot of the stuff I had early on was like, use automatic transit, transmission, drive in the rain. It'll turn like a race into a rain race, which. A lot of it was just, these are the settings I already have. What's the big deal?
Yeah, why are you making this a thing?
Then you get some of the later ones, the harder ones, which actually ask you to like turn on ABS off or stuff like that, which, okay, but also, you know, just let people drive how they want.
Right.
I get pushing people to try and get better and turn off some of the assists, but it just felt like they were gaming that too much in the hopes of eventually adding the real money stuff to that.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten that severe. Like, I haven't felt like they were trying to juice me or anything else like that. Like, I don't think there are any loot boxes in this, because they do have the wheel spins and sort of the RNG, but there's never been something that's popped up that's been like, give us your money.
Yeah, and they were even bad about that, because at no point, like, even leveling up, you didn't get a free box for that, any free crates. Like, you just leveled up, and it was like, okay, you unlocked, like, a couple of avatars or something like that. And it's like, who cares about avatars?
Right. Well, and that definitely sounds like that's part of what's creeped in here, because, like I don't care about
adding all this extra stuff that doesn't really affect much. Way.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is like what's interesting as sort of a counterpoint to that is that, you know, I definitely feel like the Horizon games were all about like letting you play how you want, right? And so with that in mind, like one of the things that's really interesting is like it seems like they've moved away from trying to make you do shit that you don't want to do. So like, for instance, I was never a big fan of any of the drifting bullshit in the other games, because I feel like the drifting mechanic, there's just something about it that doesn't feel right. So they, you know, they, and that always bothered me. You'd end up, particularly in 3, like you'd end up in a drift zone where you're trying to get like 3 stars or something. And then, you know, fucking Donnie Dickhead would be fucking, you know, driving around in his car and getting your way of your like perfect drift. Like, well, that's actually one of the things that they fixed. They set it up now where, if you are in the middle of like doing a challenge or something like that, you know, a speed zone, anything else like that, that cars can't get in your way. They ghost. So that was like, when I saw that, it was like, oh, that's really cool, because that removes some of the frustration and it gets back into like, you know, we're going to let you play the way that you want to play. And to add to that even further, they set it up now to where if you just don't like doing any of that shit, it won't put it on your map. So if you just don't go and do any of those extra challenges or anything else that you don't like, it will pretty much leave them off. Whereas if you like doing street racing, you jump into street racing, it will keep popping up more and more street races as you do more and more. So it definitely seems like they're sort of trying to tailor it to like, all right, here's the stuff that you're obviously interested in doing. So that's what we're going to funnel you towards, which I think is a cool idea. And it works because then you don't feel like, I think it sort of counters the overwhelming feeling that 3 had to a certain extent, where it was just like, your map is full of all of these icons, but do they actually mean anything to you? So it feels like they corrected that. And there's a lot of things in the game as far as quality of life that they've changed that I think makes it overall a lot better. And that's what makes something like throwing in these cosmetics for an avatar that you don't care about into the mix seem so fucking strange. Because like with 7, like I don't agree with like what you were just mentioning, Chris. Like them doing that is absolute bullshit. But like, okay, there's a monetary reason behind why they're trying to do it. That at least sort of makes sense to me.
Part of it. They were going to, and people complained enough. They eventually said, "Yeah, okay, we're not going to do it." Yeah,
okay.
Now it just feels like actually, now there's all these mechanics built around unlocking these crates, but they don't. They're not for any money. It's just there because they were going to.
They're
in the process of removing it in a couple months.
Yeah, I don't see any real money hooks in this.
I think you said they're not going to, so they probably had the better foresight of not starting that stuff yet.
Yeah, and see, the thing with it, too, that's really funny to me is that they could have fixed the whole reason I'm feeling sour on the game. They could have just fixed by even just doing a modification of how that stuff works. Like, okay, if you're going to put cosmetics in the regular wheel spins, fine. But these, like, super mega wheel spins, the one that give you 3 items instead of 1, those are apparently pretty rare. So it's like, okay, if you're going to do that, maybe make that so those only give cars and money. You know, because like I said, my first 10 spins on those things – so we're talking 30 items. I got nothing but cosmetics, like hats and shoes. Yeah, like
that sounds like
if I care about shoes, I'm driving a car.
That sounds like if you're in Overwatch and your first like 5 crates all give you
sprays. Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck? I want the suits.
Yeah, this isn't what I'm paying the money for, exactly. Yeah. And of course, you know, again, you're not paying money for this, but the gameplay loop that they had built around this I thought was really, really perfected in Forza 3 because this is coming from a guy who plays MMOs and you know, where you're at the mercy of RNG a lot. The fact that they had something in there to where, like, look, even if you're not in Horizon 3, even if you're not getting what you want, we're still giving you resources to help move you towards what you want. Yeah. That at least feels like to build on like the leveling system and everything else, it made you feel like, okay, well, at least I'm moving towards something. And them throwing these cosmetics in here just completely derails that. And I can't figure out why. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just different because I'm old or some shit, but I don't know what the point of having them in here is in the first place.
I think I think it's a lot of influence from like Fortnite and Overwatch and that sort of stuff. Wanting to have the fun extra stuff, as well as obviously they're doing like the games as a service thing. They want you to keep playing, and so these are the carrots because people like that stuff. They having suits to choose from, dances,
and I can see
Fortnite
that
has dances. Like that's a big thing in Fortnite.
Oh yeah, no, trust me, I see my kid do that stupid fucking floss dance all the goddamn time, and every one of his friends do that shit too, so. No, I get that, but like, I can understand if you made that the hook in this, but they did. The game doesn't have anything like that. The only thing it does have is, like, if you win, it has a thing where you'll do, like, a dance, but it's so poorly implemented. Like I said, they look bad. That's the other part of it that's, like, it's really kind of stupefying, where it's like, you guys could have done a much better job on this. Like, maybe then I'd also feel different. If it's like, okay, well, you did a better job on this. Everything looks good. Because, like, I'm not into Fortnite. I've played it with my kid. I don't see the point in it. It's not for me. But I can see why other people are into it, and I can see why, you know, again, as somebody that plays Overwatch, I can see why skins and things like that are cool. And, like, I get all of that. And I'm down with, you know, different companies trying to do different things. But this just truly feels like something that nobody really thought about at all and just said, well, we need to do this because we don't have anything else. And I think that's a really shitty reason to do anything.
Yeah, I think it was something that corporate made them do.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that probably would have
a lot of stuff that got handed down from above.
Yeah, this is why people keep talking about Overwatch. This is skins.
Yeah. Well, and it's so funny too because it reminds me of I don't know if any of you guys ever watched Parks and Rec, but you know there's a scene in there where Nick Offerman says like, "Son, never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing." And that's what this feels like. It feels like they were like really half-assing it. I think it's sort of ironically a testament to how good a developer turn 10 is, because this is really the only thing that I have to bitch about. And I think if you had it in another game, you could point to a lot of other things that are problematic. But like, the game itself is beautiful. Britain, the way that they have everything set up is beautiful. The season implementation is actually pretty neat too. There's a ton of graphical flourishes, just little things that just pull you even more into the game. Like if you're racing in the rain and like I have a Subaru that's painted red. And so if you're racing in the rain and it's dark, if you reverse your car, now this game has the same thing as you see with any, you know, modern game where there's rain and it hits the screen, you know, mm-hmm. if you are going in reverse or if there are lights shining off of your car, the droplets on the screen change to the color that your paint job is. So the light in the game is reflecting off of your paint and then onto the raindrops that are on the screen. Snow has a real shimmery effect and like a sparkle effect depending on if it's iced and things like that. There's some really gorgeous stuff. And then, you know, and again, and I just felt like they had the gameplay loop perfect and they just fucked it up, and I don't know why. Just like, I think maybe it's like what you guys said, it's probably just corporate. Somebody going, "Oh, you know, this is fancy in the Fortnites. Yeah. We should put it in our game."
Also seemed like they didn't quite know what to do with a sequel to Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, and I think that's the other part of it, because I really do. Like, what's interesting to me is that I'm looking at this, and besides it being a really good-looking game, I don't – so far, I haven't uncovered anything that makes me want to go, well, I have no reason to play 3 anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something else. So we'll see. Like I said, I'm going to give time. I'm going to take time with it. It's something that I do with my son, and it's, you know, it's something I can play relatively casually. So, you know, it's possible this could change for me in the future, but right now it's just one of those things. It's so, again, just because they're such a good developer, it's really head scratching as to why they made this decision.
Yeah. And I'll say also, like, Turn 10 also has a guaranteed, you know, guaranteed credits that you can just get if you didn't know about.
Is it the Forza Hub?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that's something else that I think is totally cool. Like, they reward you for playing their other games, and you pop in and you can get more free shit. Like, and again, that's, I think, because of, based on what we're talking about, that's what makes this situation so fucking strange, because everything else really works. But this is the one thing that just for me really doesn't. And even my son, who's somebody that's into Fortnite and doing the skins and everything, he's like, "Yeah, I think this is dumb."
Yeah.
And so
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, if he's thinking that, because like for me, it's just on the gameplay loop. Like it's stupid to fuck up what was essentially the perfect gameplay loop by adding this bullshit. But like, when, again, I have my kid who's like, "Yeah, I don't see the point of this." He's the target audience for why they put this bullshit in here anyway. Because it's not like, as far as I can tell, it's not like I can get around and walk. Yeah. With my character, you know, so there's no real reason for me to have him dressed up, except if I'm doing the photo mode and I want to have, you know, a guy in a fucking $3 million automobile dressed like a chicken, which, you know, there may be a conversation worth having, but it's not here.
You know, yeah, because Unrush does something similar where it's basically Overwatch as a racing game.
Yeah.
But also that is like, that's just the result screen is. You see, like, oh, here's the player of the game. Here's the people have the best in these certain stat categories.
Right.
Their characters will dance and all that, but that's the end of the race. It's at the end of the match, and you're done. You move on to the next thing. That's more.
Yeah, it does that. It does that at the end of the game, at the end of a race too. Like at the end of the race, it'll show the three. Like it almost does it like a stage. And it, like, the background is like a bright color, and it's got like a, you know, a board, and it's like, you know, first, second, and third, and it'll have your character and your car, and then the other two people, their characters and their car. And so that's a place where one of them can dance, but it's just like, or like fist bump or whatever, like, but it's just so poorly implemented. And again, it just doesn't have a place in this game. Like, you know, Pat's been talking about how much he loves fucking NHL 19. Like, to me, it would be like, if they, in for NHL 19, they introduced a mode where you're a fan in the stands and you just get to watch. Like, that's not why I bought this fucking game. Like, I bought it, like, for Pat, it'd be like, I bought it to play fucking hockey, not because I want to be a guy that's in the stands heckling a ref. You know, like, that's sort of what this feels like. Like, they just put it here because, again, I don't think they knew what else to do. So anyway, I'm just beating a dead horse at that point. I'll let you guys know in a week once I've spent more time with it, you know, if my mind has changed. But, I don't know, man. I think it's, again, because I've played a lot of other games that have bullshit RNG in them. I think I'm really just getting tired of RNG. Like, respect my time. I'm putting it in.
Everybody else.
I'm putting my time in. I paid you my fucking money. Please do your best not to fuck me here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I was playing Forza Horizon 2 since that was free for Games with Gold a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And all the spins I got gave me money. I never got a car. Mm. Like, the first couple hours, like, I guess I can at least buy a car with this, but it's like, I didn't ever, like, worry about getting a car because I was just like, eh, just give me money, whatever.
Yeah, and then you can eventually use the money to get the fucking car you want. Like, with this, like, it's not like I can sell the fucking chicken suit either. That's the other thing that sucks. Like, whatever they give me, I can't get rid of. It doesn't do anything for me.
So I assume you get money if it's a duplicate.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if you get duplicates or not. Like, I have,
or if it just removes it from the pool.
Yeah, if it just removes it from the pool. And if it removes it from the pool, that's good. But I would also argue it shouldn't have been in the fucking pool in the first place, because now it's
pool.
Yeah,
it gets now flooded with all these cosmetics.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. Like I said, I mean, 30 cosmetics in a row. Like, for me, who's like, oh, this is fucking great, I'm gonna get, like. And the worst part is on the wheel spins, you see what car you could have a chance at getting. Yeah. So when you're like one away from getting like $150,000, or like this Horizon Edition car that gives you extra money or whatever the fuck, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Black shoes.
It would be better if they had, like, branded spins where it's like, this spin has, you know, 10 items in it.
Yeah.
And as you keep getting it, you know, remove stuff from that pool, eventually you get a car or two or whatever's in there.
Yeah.
Like, rather than just, here's 300 items, 80% of them are all cosmetics.
And they're all bullshit that you
got to work your way through all that crap before you get to the stuff you want.
Yeah, and that's the part that bothers me the most, because then it's kind of like, for me, it's like, okay, well, if I have to work my way through all this bullshit, then you're making me do things I don't want to do to get the things that I do want. And I'm just at a point in my life where I'm like, please don't waste my fucking time.
Yeah, or they could have just had, like, challenges for that stuff, where it's like, you know, complete 10 races, you get this free suit or whatever.
Yeah, there's so many better ways to implement it. I think that's the other problem, is that they could have done it in so many different ways. Because that's something else that's neat in the game for you guys that have played it. So each type of activity that you like to do actually has a level now, which at first I was kind of against. But each one of those levels also has a reward at the end of it. So, like, if you really like doing street races, they're or like the circuit races. We did like the circuit races and got up to, I think it was level 4, and won a Lamborghini just by hitting level 4 in those. That is a way that they could have done the cosmetic items, because they do have that. Like, I won a shirt for hitting level 5, and it's like, oh, that's okay, whatever. Yeah. But it wouldn't have been that bad if they weren't diluting the wheel spins with that bullshit. And, yeah. You know, so
I've heard some great like quest lines of races. Yeah. It was like some that are centered around like racing games. Like, somebody that's like hosting as like favorite racing games. Like, oh, here's one that's based on Outrun, or has like the Ferrari from the
Some of the challenges that people have put forth are interesting, and some of the quests too. Like, one of them has you being a stunt driver for a movie, and so it puts you in all kinds of crazy cars and just expect you to do crazy shit. That stuff is really fun, and that's the thing. You guys really haven't heard me bitch about the way the game actually plays. It's just around this cosmetic stuff. So
yeah,
you know.
So let's we could probably talk for another hour about Forza Horizon 4, because there's a lot to talk about in there. But let's move on to the rest of the show, because we're about an hour in. We haven't even gotten to the stories yet. So, yeah, let's just
I blame Pat for being late.
Well, there's that, but no, that's no.
If anything, I would have thought that would have pushed us along faster.
Yeah. So it just
gives me more time to just be angry about things, Pat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Without redirection.
So we got October's PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold titles because we're approaching the beginning of another month, and that means more free games.
Yep. So PlayStation Plus, the main PS4 games are Friday the 13th, the game.
Yay.
Yeah, and Laser League, which I'm interested in trying that out. Yeah. That is a sort of multiplayer thing. It seems like it's pulling influence from Rocket League, but it's not like a vehicle sport thing. I think it's more... I don't really know how to describe it. It's on Game Pass right now, or at least it was, which I downloaded and never played it, so...
Oops.
But I don't think it ever really got much of a bump in multiplayer for it, because there's 100 other games.
Hmm.
There's no real guarantee people are going to check out that one game. But yeah, it's like a little multiplayer sport thing.
Yeah.
But it's more about like dropping lasers and activating lasers on this like little arena. But yeah, Friday the 13th is pretty interesting, because I think this is one of their ways to get more money. Because the licensing has somehow backfired on them, in a sense of the people that own the license have like filed complaints against them for
I was reading something about that the other, I think it was yesterday, where like somebody else now owns like the Friday the 13th property or got rights to it but doesn't have rights to Jason, and there's like a whole big thing.
Yeah, it's like, somebody like split that. Of the rights that doesn't allow them to put any new content in the game, even the stuff they promised. It's a real weird situation, but it seems like a decent game to add for the holiday coming up. There's that right Dead by Halloween, Daylight. So. Yeah. So they got the choice of both of those games.
Yeah.
Let's see. Alongside that, there is for the PS3 is Master Reboot, which is another spooky game. Let's see. There's The Bridge, which is PS3, PS4, and Vita cross-buy. Mm-hmm. That is a puzzle game. Kind of has like more of a kind of a hand-drawn kind of style to it, mm-hmm. as well as a little bit of I forget what it's called. It's a neat little puzzle game. I played a little bit of it on PC. There's Rocket Birds 2 Evolution for the Vita and PS4. This is a side-scrolling shooter. I played the first game, Rocket Birds.
Mm.
You are a kind of like an action movie star kind of style chicken commando dude,
mm-hmm.
that can that fires guns and kills tons of people. And it has a really cool like parallax scrolling style to it, where the stages are kind of a little bit 3D, even though they're 2D. And there's 2064 Read Only Memories, which is an adventure game.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I heard that's really good. I own it. I have never played it, but I heard it's dope.
Yeah, and it has some neat voice actors in it. I know like Dan Reichert's in there, and a couple other like people in the media.
Hmm.
Austin Walker, I think a few others are in there.
Yep.
And so yeah, the also continuing from last month, Here They Lie for PlayStation VR and PS4 is still free for PlayStation Plus members until the 2nd. So you got a couple more days to grab that. And there's Knowledge is Powers, which is a Playlink game. That's sort of a trivia thing. So yeah, some neat stuff there. Nothing really too amazing.
Yeah, very esoteric, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good variety.
Mm.
So yeah, Games with Gold, Xbox One, available right tomorrow. October 1st to the 31st is Overcooked. It's supposed to be pretty good, but if you don't have like local people to play with, fuck off. That game's not good for solo play. Yeah. I think you can play solo, but you're eventually going to get overwhelmed. Let's see, from the 16th to November 15th is Victor Vran, which you have some experience with on PC, I think, Phil.
Yeah, action RPG, Diablo-style dungeon crawler. It's not bad, actually.
Yeah. What's sort of the hook with that compared to Diablo? Is there anything?
Not really. It's just a very traditional. Clone. Yeah, it's just a good clone. I think one of the things that it does that a lot of those types of games don't do is platforming.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of that in there. So But yeah, the team behind that are actually pretty good with the hardware, and they've actually done some pretty spectacular stuff on the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One. Okay. So I don't know if this version is going to have X support, but if it doesn't now, probably will soon.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, and for the 360 stuff, the first one up for the first half of October is Stuntman Ignition.
Ooh.
Yeah, so if you want to potentially break your controller, it's a good game for that. I know I've played the PS2 Stuntman game, and those are games that are very rigid in what they want you to do, and the controls aren't great.
Nope.
So imagine if you want to do Stuntman stuff, probably better to buy Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah, probably.
Play that one more. Set of races.
Yeah, you can dress up like a chicken while you do it, too.
Yep. Okay, and the second half of the month is Hitman Blood Money. Surprised it's not the collection. Because there's the Hitman collection. It has, I think, 2 Blood Money, and I forget what the third game is.
Hmm.
It's one of the other ones that came out before Absolution.
Hmm. Yeah, I think they're just adding them. Piecemeal.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah,
collection will be a little bit better. It'd be like if they just added Devil May Cry, then 2, and then 3.
Yeah.
So, no, you put together a collection for a reason.
Hmm.
But yeah, decent months for both services.
Yeah, not too bad. Also, Victor Vran has an expansion featuring Motorhead, so that's automatically makes it better.
Okay.
So yeah, that's good games for both systems. So
yep.
Yeah.
Get there. So let's get to some releases, because we got a few to talk about. In a couple of weeks, the 9th of October, you're going to be able to get your hands on the Mark of the Ninja remaster.
Yep.
That's like an old-school Xbox Live game.
I love the original.
That was a later XBLA game.
It's
been a while, though.
Yeah, they haven't...
at least 10 years.
Yeah, they haven't done anything. I think it's like 2011?
Yeah.
2010, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a fantastic game, though.
Yeah.
And it showed up. Like, I still have it. Like, there was a listing for it to be backwards compatible. And I actually still have the icon, but it's never become backwards compatible.
Yeah, it's going to be PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and Steam. If you have it on Steam, it's already on there.
Yeah.
But it's not available to download yet. It doesn't actually release yet. But it can tease you for now. The Xbox One version, if you own it on 360, it'll let you upgrade for $5 as a discount.
Nice.
And get the extra stuff. If you have the DLC with it, it's a free upgrade.
See, Nintendo should actually follow this playbook.
Yeah.
They really should. Because now I'm sitting here like, shit, I'll drop. Because I was planning on getting on Switch anyway. But now I'm like, shit, I'll drop $5 to get the upgrade on the Xbox version too, and then they just get more money.
Yeah.
It's a shame this stuff didn't happen more on Xbox One, because Microsoft kind of seemingly just blocked everybody from just doing upgrades for free.
Yeah.
Because we got a couple, and they always come with catches.
Because
I think Bastion was free for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I think Castle Crashers was a $5 upgrade. And then this is obviously a $5 upgrade if you don't have the DLC. I think I do. I don't know. I have to look
to
it
check.
Up. I have to go pull up the games page on the old version of the marketplace.
Yep.
So. But yeah, that's a game that people should definitely check out. It's like a stealth Metroid game.
Yeah, it's super fun. I think it's one of the most underrated games that was out on XBLA. And I'm a sucker for a really well done stealth game, and Mark of the Ninja is really, really well done.
Yeah.
Next up on the same day, the first Pinball FX 3 pack of Williams Tables is going to be released.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's the 9th, and includes Medieval Madness, Junkyard, and the Getaway High Speed 2. That is $10 for the pack. And alongside the update that comes with this, Fishtails will be free for everybody.
Yeah, it's 4 tables for $10. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and so you'll have the classic version of the table, as well as the 3D version that includes the Pinball FX style, like 3D characters walking around doing stuff.
I was wondering what they were going to do if Zen Studios was going to have to tone themselves down. So,
yeah, so they did, but they also include the option to make it weird.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like they have a picture here, I think it's Fishtails, like the weird guy with the beard, yeah. Like standing around.
Yeah.
Looking crazy, like he's on meth.
Yeah.
So, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll play Fishtails again.
Mm-hmm.
The Getaway is a fantastic table, by the way. So
yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to play again, too.
Yeah, now it's going to have to wait for all these to get dropped down piecemeal.
Yeah. So yeah. Have to buy them all over again.
Kind of disappointing going from having like dozens of this stuff in Pinball Arcade to, okay, now I'm back down to three.
Yeah.
Or four.
Yeah. God damn it. Later in the month, the 28th, we got Castlevania Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood coming out in a two-pack of Castlevania Requiem.
So I really hope this is just a straight dump of, well,
the PSP.
An upgraded.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Rondo of Blood
nope.
is the original version.
Yeah.
Well, that was in there too.
Rondo of Blood, wasn't that, weren't those Genesis games?
Oh, that one was PC Engine CD.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they say they have, let's see, 4K 1080p upscaling support, high-res backgrounds, different rendering options, so you get smoothing and all that. Platinums for, I think, both games.
Please just give us the PSP translation of Symphony of the Night.
I don't know, man. I'm missing what is a man.
Well, I mean, they said that Symphony, they're both emulated, so... I don't know exactly which versions they're going to be in.
Yeah, see, and that's what bothers me. Like, they're talking about they did upscaling. They're like, no, you did an emulator. Let's not
put a filter on it.
Let's not pretend you put effort into this. Okay, we know who the fuck you are, Konami. Okay.
Yeah, so. I think this is using Sony's PSP emulator they've used for some games on PS4.
So yeah, that's why it's not coming out elsewhere. The it's got some pretty hefty. I guess like shrinkage just because of the resolution. So, I think I was looking at it. To me, it looked like it was actually like maybe like the actual borders and stuff were like 35% of the picture, which, again, like but don't call it a fucking 4K or 1080p remaster. Like this is bare minimum. And it sucks because I'll still buy it because it's Symphony of the Night.
Well, I'm totally still buying it. It's just,
they got pre-order discount right now. I think it's $16 for PS Plus. I think it's $17 for
regular
or no, $18 for regular members.
Yeah.
So you can get about 10 or 20% off. Also has vibration support. So
I know they mentioned that. I was so excited.
Uses the speaker too. So maybe they'll push out that voice acting.
What is a man right on your controller?
What is a man? This guy only has one speaker in his controller.
Yeah.
Am I the only person that turns all that bullshit off?
Well, I do game. When I find it.
Yeah.
Some games you can't.
Yeah, there's a game that came out for PS Plus a while ago called 99 Vitas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had my headphones on, listening to something on my computer, and I could still hear it like screaming through the speakers as loud as I've ever heard it. It scared the shit out of me. I was like, what the fuck? Can't turn it off.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Yeah.
I like it when it's done well. Like, I think Housemark does it really well.
Yeah,
their like announcer comes through the speaker to tell you like when there's upgrades that are dropped or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that at least if this is the PSP version of Symphony of the Night, that will be a good thing just for the fact that it'll actually have widescreen support.
So, yeah. Well, not just that. I wonder what the Rondo of Blood, if it truly is the PSP version, is it going to include the 3D one and the 2D one, or is it just the 2D one?
The screenshots just showed.
It was the 2D one that you had to unlock, so I think that the 3D one would be the default, and that one would actually upscale pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the 3D one was an interesting variation of the original game. And so kind of seeing like, oh, this is the way they perceive it, at the time, and this is the way that it used to be. And I mean, I thought it was a neat thing to have personally. Yeah. So
I really like those sort of remakes on the PSP.
Yeah.
Because there's like the Ghosts and Goblins remake goes on there. Like, that one looked really nice.
Needs to show up on PS4.
Yeah. I remember getting to the end, and like, oh, I just skipped most of the game, so I couldn't do anything. It's like, oh, is this the end? Oh, you can't do anything because you didn't beat the other levels.
Right.
Yeah. So, looking forward to it, even though we know it's going to be a bare minimum port. But be able to get trophies again in Castlevania Symphony of the Night? Okay, you can have $20. So.
And just let me get my Chris agreement run through and rip everybody's face off.
So, yeah, next up, this is a little further out. It's a 2019 title, but no specific month yet. It's Minecraft Dungeons. Looks like a Minecraft-themed dungeon crawler, which looks kind of okay, actually.
They are really going to take this game and just slap it on every genre that's ever existed, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Minecraft Dating Sim, probably next.
My son will definitely enjoy that game. The dungeon crawler, not the dating sim. But I don't know. It's one of those things, too. Like, I don't know. I watched him play Minecraft Story Mode. It was actually pretty cool, I thought. And I know he's going to be disappointed when he finds out Telltale is going under. But
he doesn't know yet?
No, we've been on vacation, so.
No.
And I didn't want to drop that. And I'm like, hey, you know the Minecraft Story Mode stuff that you love? Probably not going to do anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be coming to Netflix, though. Hmm. They're porting it to Netflix.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, somehow.
What? It's like a choose-your-own-adventure version of the first season, at least. Netflix has a couple stuff like that.
Yeah.
Interactive.
Wow, okay. I didn't know that. That's pretty wild.
That's what the remaining people at Telltale are doing.
Yeah. Finishing that.
Yeah.
So that's Minecraft Dungeons.
That's four-player co-op support. Up to four players, so you can do all that stuff. I don't know if it's Diablo-like in terms of loot and upgrading and all that.
Yeah,
but at least they are calling it like action adventure game. So
yeah, so we'll see. And we'll know more about that probably at X18, I suspect. Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. Other news: Xbox One is getting mouse and keyboard support. Actually, already did.
Yeah. They got their first official game supporting it, which is Warframe.
Yep.
Seems basically going to be in line with what they do on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on a game by game basis, and they'll have options for people to sort out the multiplayer.
That is the most accessible.
Huh?
That was probably Lee.
Yeah.
No, I'm muted. That wasn't me.
Yeah. So
it was me.
Yeah. Oops. So they're getting that. I'm sure. Fortnite will probably also jump on that as well.
Yeah, it definitely does it on PS4.
Yeah, but since the Xbox One will have mouse and keyboard support, I'm waiting for the Xbox One port of Office 2019.
I just want Clippy to show up and fuck things up for people.
Yeah.
You look like you're going to type a racial slur. Can you help me? Can I help you?
Let me find you a better one.
Yeah.
Oh, hi there, XXX Smokers 420. It looks like you're trying to be edgy.
So I think that just rolled out or is about to.
Yeah. In the coming weeks to Xbox Insiders.
Okay. Yeah. See, I don't have my Xbox One anymore, so I can't test any of this stuff anymore, which is annoying.
What did you do with your Xbox One, Phil?
You know that PC that exploded? I had to sell my OG Xbox One to fund my upgrade slash repair. So that was irritating.
Yeah. I guess they're partnering with Razer to do some Xbox specific mouse and keyboard stuff.
Their Razer's PC stuff is actually not terrible, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike their sticks that fail when you don't want them to. Yeah,
like Evo Grand Final.
Yeah.
Okay. And it says November 10th on Inside Inbox Xbox, they're going to have some more titles to announce for this stuff.
Okay.
And more about their partnership with Razer.
Okay.
Probably won't stop the people that use those spoofing mouses.
Yeah.
That go into the controller stuff.
Yeah.
But
this will just be better, though, because it'll just work.
Yeah, but I think those people like going against controller people and killing them.
Yeah.
But that probably won't end anyway.
Yeah, that's just going to happen anyway.
Because then you have an inferior mouse and keyboard for the keyboard people.
Let's see, what else we got here? Okay, this is coming spring 2019. It was Oculus Connect 5 this week, and they announced the $400 Oculus Quest standalone headset, which kind of marks the end of Gen 1 of the current generation of VR.
Mm-hmm.
This is a standalone, completely wireless.
Mm-hmm. now a Russian person says virus.
we'll have, let's see, 6 degrees of freedom. So, unlike the Oculus Go, you can actually get up and has full room tracking, but doesn't require any sensors.
Doesn't. Oh, hey, a Facebook thing that has cameras.
Yeah.
Scan your room.
Yeah. Gee.
Yeah, I'll pass. Eat a dick, Zuckerberg.
eat a dick, John Carmack, because he's also the one working on this.
Fuck, man. Why, you know?
Yeah, so there. From what people have been saying, it's actually very, very good.
Not quite on par with the Rift.
No, but it's not far, far off.
Yeah, because I keep saying Rift quality games.
Yeah.
Okay, that just seems to say we're going to port stuff to this.
Basically.
I think they announced like a Vader thing, Darth Vader, like VR series.
Yeah, Vader VR series. A Robo Recall is going
to
be ported to.
I assume Beat Saber is going to come to this so you can look like a weirdo.
Yeah.
So we can use the touch controllers.
Yeah, which it comes with. But, VR is not dead, folks.
No.
Much as people really would like it to be, it's moving ahead.
It's evolving.
Be interesting to see it. Like, and they pointedly did not announce the Rift 2.
No.
But Zuckerberg did say, we're not announcing it today, but yes, we are working on it. So expect that.
I just remember watching that.
This means all in due time.
I just remember him doing a VR presentation after Puerto Rico got hit by that hurricane, and they had like the smiling avatars, and it was like, you can really see the devastation here. This is one of the great things about VR, and it was like,
I'm a rich white man.
Yeah. There's nothing else that screams like super rich white guy. It was like it felt like he was using that fucking VR tech to tour places he was going to buy since the whole area is going to be bankrupted. Like, fuck yourself, Zuckerberg.
Anyways. So let's see. Move on to, we're going to follow on to a story that we talked about last week, which was Telltale's closure. Class action suit very quickly followed.
Yeah, let's just say we saw this coming. Once the news of all the backroom shenanigans that they were doing.
So what were the backroom shenanigans? I've been
Unpaid overtime is the big one.
Basically a lot of just trying to keep things going. Mm-hmm. I think they got into a cycle of signing new deals to pay off the current deals. Because the games weren't selling well enough to pay for that stuff, and they never toned things down at any point.
Yeah, they basically just kept digging themselves further into the hole.
Which works if you're like Netflix, who brings in tons of money.
Yeah.
But not if you're Telltale and your games are selling worse and worse.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's unfortunate because I think it's sort of endemic to like the problem was is that they had that formula and just applied it to every property, and it worked to a certain extent, but there wasn't really a lot of variation in any of it, which is a shame.
Yeah, they took too long to upgrade their engine and all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They really needed it.
Yeah. So
at least a lot of people just taking Telltale for granted. It's like, they're fine. We can wait until this season's on sale for $5.
Yeah.
And then they make no money off of any of it.
Yeah.
That's definitely true.
Yeah.
Also, it was just general mismanagement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently it really sucked to work there.
That's why they had a number of people leave. Yeah, we had the team that made Firewatch. They were some of the hit top people in Walking Dead Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
There was a team that made, I forget what it's called, Oxenfree.
Mm-hmm.
That team is also ex-Telltale.
Apparently, according to some employees, they were working right up until 3 a.m., like still on whatever project they were working on when they basically got the news from really out of nowhere, like over the internet, that Telltales was shutting down.
Yeah.
Yep.
No warning, not enough time to get a resume together or... You know, yeah, a lot of them are the part of the major reason they're suing right now is because they want to get severance pay, because most of these people didn't get any severance to speak of.
Oh, Jesus yeah. Christ.
Mm. Yeah.
They're asking like a total of like, I think it's like 2 months worth of like severance and like 2 months worth of back pay or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with that from a company that has no money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this class action lawsuit entails the WARN Act, mm-hmm. Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, and both the federal and the California versions of it, which the federal one's a little bit less stringent.
Yeah.
Let's see. Most businesses with at least 100 full-time workers must notify employees 60 days in advance of any plant closings or mass layoffs.
So yep. Wait, where is Telltale located? Are they in California?
San Francisco.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
So those people yep. also had to deal with San Francisco housing
yeah.
stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the act defines a mass layoff as a reduction of 50 more employees within a 30-day period. And the total comprises at least one-third of the company's workforce. And so they kind of violated that, but I think there's potential ways that Telltale could counter it and get out of it. But the California one is a lot more tough on them.
Oh, yeah.
Lowers the company size threshold to 75 full or part-time workers. Applies to any reduction of at least 50 employees. Yeah. Both require 60 days notice. They found out 0 days notice, pretty much.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, so that the thing is, you know, anybody that's worked on any company with dealing with financials and stuff like that, this stuff happening isn't a surprise. It's not like just, you know, opening up your bank account and go, well, fuck, we have $0. Like, you know for a while that this stuff is coming down the pipe. And yeah. So them not letting the people know, you know, just kind of even – because at that point, like, to what I mentioned earlier is, you know, not a lot of – I don't think a lot of people were buying a lot of the Telltale games at full price because they just go out and wait for a sale. Like, Telltale was actually one of those companies, now that I think about it, I don't think I ever bought anything of theirs at full price because I knew at some point after the whole thing had been completed, it would go on sale for $5 or $10. And I'm not into the episodic gameplay because I don't have a lot of time in the first place. So the idea that I could just get the full game when it's completely finished dirt cheap was one of the reasons I waited around. And I have a lot of their stuff. I think the only thing that we purchased when it was out was Minecraft Story Mode, and that was for my kid. But like thinking about it, like again, you know when the company's going downhill, it's not going to be a surprise, and so it's really kind of shitty for them to keep those people on, you know, till 3 a.m. the day of, because their jobs were never going to be saved. They just did that to make sure they got the product out the door, and then said, "All right, fuck you," you know.
Make
that's
the money
it's
and
just,
run, basically. Yeah.
It's a real shitty way to treat people, because otherwise, you know, you and I think especially in the wake of stuff like Kurt Schilling's company and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, these companies aren't going to be, or these companies, these employees aren't going to be sitting around and going, well, you know, let's do this for the good of the company, because they've been fucked over before and they've seen their colleagues and peers at other gaming companies get fucked over, you know, because of bad choices by management. So if they knew something was coming down the pipe, you know, goddamn good and well, those people wouldn't have stuck around. And it sounds like at this point it was all about Telltale just trying to, you know, get something out the door so they could say that it was finished. And that's really, really shitty.
Yeah. And we've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. We need a game developers guild.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a labor union, something.
Yeah. Yeah. The Marvel Heroes team, when they shut down, I remember Anthony Gallegos, who worked over there, talked about how, like, the last week or so, you know, they basically said, yeah, we're trying to see if we can get bought out or something. So for the time being, just hang out, you know, do whatever, work on your resume. Didn't really require them to do any work because they knew things were either going to go real bad or they were going to be bought and then it would be somebody else's problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's such a shitty thing. Like, yeah, there should definitely be a union or something like that. But I think one of the things that's really unfortunate about because again, I work at a software company, and it's not a video game company, but I think it's one of the things where a lot of these people truly believe in what they're doing. And when you believe in what you're doing, you're a lot more willing to put up with bullshit because you care about whatever the end result may be. Yep. And I think that a lot of game companies have taken horrible advantage of these employees by going, well, you want to work on games, don't you? Mm-hmm. And so this is what you have to do. And, you know, I think it's a shitty way to treat people. And what's ironic is a lot of these coders, like I know people that have left the video game industry and just moved on to just doing regular software development because the hours aren't as bad and the money is twice as good. And so, you know, these companies, like for all the bluster and bullshit that you hear some of these companies put up about how expensive it is to make games, you know, they are still making out hand over fist because a lot of them are taking advantage of their workforce and they're exploiting the fact that they want to be there.
Well, not just their workforce, they're also exploiting their customer base as well.
Yeah.
Especially the big AAA publishers.
Yeah, you don't hear anybody like on a fucking forum standing for QuickBooks. You know, they're not like, well, you know, these guys really, really put it in.
I'm sure you could find that if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
People will do that for anything.
That's an ugly thought. Even
their software programs. Think about like browsers. People that, Firefox, you know, it's not shit like Chrome or, you know, yeah. Edge. I don't know anybody that would stand for Edge, but whatever.
Yeah.
You but like your programs, just, you.
But you I, go think to it's, platform. I think it's more. I mean, I just think it's more prevalent in the video game industry overall because there's this. I don't want to say lack of objectivity because that's certainly not it, but I think that people have this tendency, you know, kind of like the way they look at sports teams or whatever the fuck and go like, that's my guy or that's my group or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, I think that a lot of these video game companies take advantage of that. And Brandon, to your point, I think they do the same thing with their customer base. It's still just shocking to me on that front, how many gamers are so willing to like take it up the ass by these companies. And to be honest, I think Nintendo fans are the worst. I was looking at the Switch online stuff, and it was just like, you don't like it, don't buy it. Not that, here's a fucking multi-billion-dollar company that could do better and, you know, could actually look at what their competitors are doing. But no, we'll let them get away with this and we'll say whatever and we'll defend them because we like Mario. Like, fuck off.
I think Nintendo fans need a tetanus shot at this point.
Yeah, need a fucking intervention.
But, despite all of this, somehow they still seem to have interested partners that will finish Walking Dead Season 4.
That's more about
the IP. Scabs.
I think it's more about the IP. And, you know, actually the first season of Walking Dead was fantastic. So, you know, I think it might just be, you know, if we can finish this, then what do we do with the IP and what can we get away with and shit like that. It feels like whatever they do is going to be a calculated move and it's not going to be because they actually want to finish the game. It's going to be,
well, this is the
we finish
season.
This game. Yeah, it's but it's not, I know, but it's, but The Walking Dead in and of itself as a property has 3 million different ways that it can go.
Well, they're not the only people that have the license. Like there are other Walking Dead games out there.
So
one's coming out in a couple weeks.
So what's the point of somebody finishing this? What do they get out of it?
Well, because they sold the season as a whole, and they only got 2 episodes of the 4 done.
Yeah.
So they're trying to finish them up so they don't get the refunds going on PS4 and Xbox.
But for a refund for a fucking defunct company, there's no money. So that's the thing that I'm trying to understand. What if another party steps in, what is the benefit to that other party?
I think they would probably get a cut of the money.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's also Telltale still trying. Well, I think Telltale is still like trying to get a last-minute save, and this is a potential avenue for them to maybe find somebody that buys them or something. I don't know. They're not exactly like laying out why exactly, other than just people saying, "Where's episode 3 and 4?" And even people going like, "Well, if you like so working on it so much, why don't you just finish it up now?" Now you don't have any jobs or anything. It's like, no, because they want to get paid and live.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
So that was Telltale's.
And a lot of people are just like, oh, fuck you, pay your people.
That usually would be what you should do.
I find that usually makes it so that products ship.
Yeah.
I could be wrong here. Call me crazy.
Paying employees for the actual work they do is usually a good way to maintain employees. I don't know. Maybe I'm old school that way. Anyway. So moving on, we're going to get to a story that's kind of been brewing for basically the entirety of last year and, well, most of this year. It's Sony's adamant refusal to do cross-network play, on Fortnite or anything else, is finally over.
Yay, Sony finally decided to stop sucking for 5 seconds.
Yeah, just for 5 seconds. We'll get to that in a bit. There's a beta going on right now where you can play with Xboxes and Switches and all them fun stuffs. Yep. Basically, Sony wants to make sure that there's no issues. There's no issues. Epic did this by accident a little while back.
You got to make sure those kids are safe, you know, like they said.
Yeah. Now that Sony has kind of, acquiesced on this, good luck trying to toe the no cross-network play on anything else. So, maybe Fallout 76 will finally get that. And...
They said they're not doing anything like that. They essentially use Sony as a scapegoat on this. They never really had any plans for it. They're saying we could do it, but now they're like, it's not going to happen. And if it was, it wouldn't be for a long time.
Like, I think it also just has to do with, you know, the Sony. There has to be something on the back end of Sony's that's just still like in the dark ages. Like it's ridiculous that Nintendo could also get this nailed down. Like I know it's a monetary thing for the most part with Sony, but you know, I can't tell you guys the stuff on air, so I'm not gonna say it. But I've had access to things that tell me that the stuff that they have set up over there is not the way that everybody else's shit works. And I think that's also part of the problem. And from what I understand, the folks like at Epic and Rocket League and everything really, really figured out how to do the connectivity, and it wasn't Sony.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's, you know, all of this stuff, the Fortnite stuff, the Rocket League stuff. I mean, this is running. Sony's not hosting the servers for these.
No.
You know, it's they don't really have that much stake in the game.
Especially, there's so much money in Fortnite. Like, oh my God. Like, and you know, Sony takes their cut for that stuff. And you know,
I think they announced they had 78 million people played in August.
Yeah, it's absurd.
But yeah, expect this to be the the camel's nose under the tent, because there will be more. Fortnite's the first.
Yep. I know what I'm expecting next.
Yeah,
the announcement of an Xbox One version of Final Fantasy 14.
That could be something.
That was the holdup.
Yeah,
I think it was because Microsoft required an Xbox exclusive server. And no, they did not want to have anything that was exclusive to one platform.
Yeah, but that's not a requirement anymore.
Yeah, so. Microsoft, after Microsoft started getting their ass beat, they started really changing their tune.
I remember playing Final Fantasy XI on Xbox 360, and playing with PC and PS2 players.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, though you had to have gold, I think.
Yeah,
they could not let anybody dare play online without a gold subscription.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is still kind of a problem with Fortnite because it's free to play, but that requires a gold on Xbox.
Which is, and I think on Switch you don't have to have the online stuff.
No,
you
can still play free to play. Most of the free to play stuff is not required. That stuff.
Yeah.
Now Epic still has a couple issues to work out on their own end, because now they can no longer tell people to make second accounts to play on other platforms.
Yeah, that's going to be... I'm wondering how they're going to deal with, like, having...
So they're going to have an option to merge stuff November to combine all your purchases. And they're also going to finally start allowing you to unlink your account, a console from account. So if you made a second account for different platforms, now you're going to be able to unlink that. Which
the worst part of the whole Fortnite thing was the account thing.
Yeah, because people have been complaining about that since Fortnite Save the World launched. Because you could buy stuff, you could buy versions of that game for like Xbox and not use it on PC. And people are like, oh, how do I play this with friends on PC? Like, you don't. You just make another account.
Yeah.
It's like, that's...
And then not just that. Not just that. If you played it on PC or if you played it on PS4, it locked you to PS4. Which is absolute horseshit.
There's no reason you couldn't either allow people to just log into multiple accounts, just create new sets of data for each console, whatever can't play with others, or allow people to just unlink stuff. Like say, okay, if this is the problem, let me take that off. Let me put the other stuff on.
Yeah. The ironic part about this with the whole account system and everything else like that is this all the shit started because of Sony and Microsoft in the console space, because then everybody else wanted to have their own fucking own account system. You had Ubisoft doing it. You have Epic. You have all these guys doing it. And then it created the type of environment now where people are like, well, we have these outside accounts. This is the way this stuff works. Like, you guys should not be punishing the people that are buying our game because your fucking setup is backwards. And, yeah. I think this is one of those funny things that ended up happening, because everybody was in such a rush to get their own, their own account system set up that it kind of, in a way gave the developers power rather than the platform holders like Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft, because at the end of the day, right, like people play these systems because of the games that are on them. And I think for a long time, companies, particularly Sony, has operated from the mindset of, you're coming to our system. I mean, fuck, you guys saw how arrogant they were in the PlayStation 3 era. Like, well, we just built a system. We just thought everybody would show up, and that's changing now. And I think you see that with them changing this up on this part as well, is that you can't be the platform holder and then just and have things work out the way that you want them to for multi-platform games that have an online component. Like, I think with them finally breaking over Fortnite, eventually this will be something where I could see Sony eventually having to just be like, fuck it. We have to let everybody play with each other. And it's a stupid thing for Sony to even pull, because making sure that these games have a fucking a large amount of people to play with is healthy no matter what fucking platform it's on. To kind of take the Microsoft approach, like, we don't care what system that they're playing on, just that they're playing. Like, that's a healthy way to do things. And not treat this like it's 1996 and going, well, you're coming to our platform, you're going to play by our fucking rules. Well, Epic just swung a big old dick and hit Sony in the face. That had a big old dick that had 74 million people on it, like, hey, time to change it up.
Yeah,
I'm just glad I'm not the one who has to sort out the whole account thing.
Yeah, they should have gotten that sorted out a while ago, and not let it get to this point without having a way just to take consoles off of your account.
Yeah,
some of us gotta hang on them for not having an exit strategy.
Yeah. Now my
best guess is that Epic didn't think that unlinking an account would be a big deal, because if somebody wanted to play on another platform, they could just play on the other platform and it wouldn't be they wouldn't have to get locked or anything. But Sony threw a big monkey wrench in that planning. So that's basically meant that Epic has to just refactor their entire Fortnite account system.
Yeah.
It looks like they're working on that and they're getting it done. The lock thing has already been fixed, so that's not a problem anymore.
I just hope this stuff works going forward. Like, I picked up the Grand Theft Auto 5 on PC. Because I got it for like $10 or something. And I was like, all right, well, it'll play better. I wouldn't mind revisiting this game. I love Grand Theft Auto 5. And then a friend of mine was like, well, come play with me online. I was like, sure. And then it was like, no, your accounts don't carry over. And I'm like a level, like 90 or something on PS4. And it was like, yeah, nope, not even going to do it. And I think I think the ironic part about that is that if companies like Rockstar or whoever had their fucking way, they would have it set up so I could do that, because that means eventually they'll get more fucking money. So
they like the double, triple dip. More money on them.
2K especially.
I don't know. I don't know many, and of course it's all anecdotal, but I don't know very many people that are buying multiple copies of a game and then double dipping to have that online experience and paying money.
There are definitely people.
Yeah, there are people that do that. And
yeah.
2K wants all of them.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's the next thing, is people just allowing you to have cross progression.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the big publishers. Because there's no reason I shouldn't be able to use like my Division, progress on like the Xbox One version that I already have on PS4. Yeah. It's like forcing people to start over is stupid, especially because it gives me a reason just to play your game. Like, oh yeah, I have a PS4, version here, and it shows up on like Game Pass. Like, oh, I can play it there. They can just continue. That would be good.
Encourage
people to buy more versions of your game on other platforms.
Exactly. That was kind of what I was getting at with playing with GTA Online, which was ironic because I don't play it on console anymore because the load times are so fucking atrocious. Like, it's really bad. And so it's like, well, cool. I can totally play this on PC and have the advantages of the PC and not the load time bullshit and everything else like that. And then it was like, oh, no, this isn't cross-play. And I'm like, all right, well, I will just never fucking fire up the online portion. It's not worth it.
Yeah. And so Rockstar has like 90-some million reasons not to do that because they're approaching 100 million copies sold of GTA 5.
Well, I should. I wish they do it with Red Dead because I would love to play Red Dead on my fucking Xbox.
That's why we don't know that there's a PC version coming.
Yeah, I would love
to people to buy the console versions and to be like, oh, PC coming out next spring.
Yeah, see, I would love to play Red Dead on my Xbox One, on the X, but I have a bunch of friends that are going to play it on PS4. And so it's like, fuck. Now I got to deal with that jet engine PS4 and all this other bullshit when I'd much rather play it on the X. I like the controller more, all that shit. Just let me play the online games with my friends however the fuck I want. Like, you're still getting my money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as far as the cross-progress thing goes, I mean, I've seen examples of that being done already.
Yeah.
Yeah, Diablo did that, actually, with when you went from the 7th gen to 8th gen. It was a little bit of a convoluted
way to do it. That was tied to the platform.
Yeah.
It's like PS3 to PS4, Xbox 360 to Xbox One.
Yeah. Actually, you could go the other way as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
could go cross. It was just one way.
But not PC to console.
No.
Yeah, because why should the PC version ever have anything similar in common with the console versions?
The ironic part is I'd have played more Diablo 3 if I could have used the fucking controller.
Because I think it hand plays hurts a lot better with controllers.
Yeah, my hand hurts when I play it on the PC.
Yeah, the only problem I have with Diablo is just doing new seasons, starting over again from the start.
Yeah.
It's like, just let me fucking... It would be cool if they could remix the campaign for seasons. Or, like, you may start in, like, the Chapter 4 areas or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that would... she could just hear Nephilim!
Yeah.
All the time.
It occasionally start just the last chapter with the angels and such getting killed all over the place. Like, okay, this would be cool.
Yeah. All right, so we got a couple more stories here to get through. So, last year, Shadow of War went all pizza rolls on your ass. This year, it's Assassin's Creed Odyssey. So, if you want XP boosts or other items, get yourself some Totino's Pizza Rolls.
Anybody doing energy drinks?
Nothing says, like, assassinate people in ancient Greece like pizza rolls.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, if you want your super exclusive items, you got to get that at Walmart, and you got to buy a 120 pack of Totino's pizza rolls.
They sell 120 pack of those things?
Yes, they sell 120 pack of
those. Yes, they do.
Wow.
So, but games are so expensive to make, and they have to charge microtransactions because they're so expensive.
Yeah, fuck off.
Meanwhile, they're doing all this corporate promotion
bullshit. I mean, I don't even need the Assassin's Creed stuff, but I'll still eat some goddamn pizza rolls.
The funny part was, I remember them doing that with Gears of War 4, and the codes were on the outside of the bag.
Yeah, they didn't do that after a while.
Yeah. So, well, if anybody buys the 120 count, give me the code, because I'm going to be playing Odyssey, but I will not buy 120 fucking pizza rolls.
Yeah.
And they don't last as long as you think they would.
I know. That's exactly why I'm not buying 120 pack, because that motherfucker will be gone. Like, we're fucking rolls.
Yeah, I'm looking up. Monster Energy has a promotion with Black Ops 4.
Oh.
Yeah, so you buy the 4 or 10 packs of that, you can get double XP codes.
Yeah. Yeah, Monster Energy.
From September 1st to June 30th, 2019.
Damn.
Don't drink that shit. It's really bad for you. Just saying.
I think the only one I've had of Monster is the orange, which tastes like Sunkist. It's like, this is a thing I can.
I'm a fan of Monster Java.
It is liquid death. I'll just point that out.
It is the chemical aftertaste.
Eating your insides.
Yeah, it just does nothing for me, so I don't drink energy drinks.
Yeah.
And then the mango juiced is... I'm a fan of that.
So Pat's who they're aiming at.
Yeah, Pat's the audience.
If he only played
Black Ops. Because I'm not playing Black Ops. I'm not playing Assassin's Creed. So therein lies the problem. I mean, if they were doing a promotion for Final Fantasy 14 or for NHL 19, then I'd be all over that shit, but...
Yeah, I don't see Final Fantasy 14 ever doing a promotion like this, because they actually have class.
I've seen Final Fantasy 14 branded, like, snack cakes.
That's true.
Yeah.
I saw, I was never expecting any sort of thing to promote Final Fantasy 14.
But what else we got here?
Well, Pat, if you buy the pizza roll, send me the code.
Yeah.
I got you back.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah.
Shit, now I want some goddamn pizza rolls. Motherfucker.
See, it's working. So
it's like, I can buy these pizza rolls and get something for it.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Bye. Anyways. The last news story of the week is there's no PSX this year. Sony, fuck it. No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, Sony is in I don't give a fuck mode, man.
Well, that explains why Capcom went ahead and just scheduled Capcom Cup as a standalone event.
Yeah.
Are they still sponsoring Street Fighter V stuff?
I thought I heard they stopped that a little while ago. I think they stopped. Yeah. Basically, Sean Layton is saying, we don't really have anything to announce, and we don't want to do an event and set expectations too high if we're not going to be able to deliver.
Yeah. I think they're we've announced all the things. I have to wait for them to come out.
Yeah, and I think too, it's also with all this speculation about whatever in the next gen is going to be. Like, I think that we're going to be whatever's coming out in the next year would not surprise me if it ends up being PS5 as well.
Yeah, I think it's far simpler than that. Because last year, Sean Layden said by the next PSX. We shouldn't be having the discussion of whether or not you're going to be able to change your PSN ID. So, therefore, if you cancel PSX, you don't have to fulfill that promise.
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely what the issue is. God, fuck Sony. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? As a gamer, like, I'm finding more and more that I dislike the hardware companies more and more and more and more every fucking generation. Like, you're just getting in the way at this point because you're assholes. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think out of all of them right now, the one I have the least problem with is Microsoft, but then Microsoft also can't seem to fucking keep studios fucking open to make good games. Like,
yeah. Although, I think that's changing now.
Yeah, dude.
I think they actually realize that, if you're going to be a platform holder, you should probably have games on your platform that people want to play.
Yeah.
I'm
not gonna lie. Like looking at just some of the PlayStation exclusives I've played this year or finished this year. Like I finally finished Horizon Zero Dawn and all that shit at the beginning of the year, and then we just had Spider-Man. I'm going through God of War. Like, fuck, And then like when I'm looking at like what I have on the Xbox, it's like Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah,
which is like I said, to me the greatest fucking racing game ever made, but it's not enough. Like I love the BC stuff. That's been a big reason why I've definitely stuck with the Xbox, and I feel like they deserve all the credit in the world for doing that. The ironic part about it is that it feels like the company that should be playing the long game is Sony, but they're not. And the company that is trying, it looks like they are playing the long game, is Microsoft. And I think that this stuff is going to position them a lot better for the next generation.
Okay, I'm back.
Hey, Brandon.
Sorry about that. My connection crapped out.
No problem.
It happens.
But yeah, I think that's them trying to build on the future and just basically being like, well, we lost this generation, but we're going to position the fuck out of ourselves for the next generation. And I think the way to do that is really to make your – to do the opposite of what Sony is doing, which it's Sony's always doing all these remakes and everything else like that. And that's fine. It's a good business model. But
and it would be very easy to just say, well, guess we might as well just phone it in from here.
Yeah.
Which is basically what Sony has started to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Compare that to what Microsoft just announced a couple of days ago, XO18.
Yep.
And there's going to be a lot of announcements there. And I think what's particularly interesting is where they're holding it.
Where are they holding it, Phil?
Mexico City.
Uh-huh. Huh.
Yeah. Gee, an American company going down to Mexico to do a big event.
Tell you what, they wouldn't be able to do that if we had a fucking wall.
That's very, very little subtle FU to the administration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's Sony. Congrats on being really dumb.
Well, I just have to make one little quip here. I remember at PlayStation Experience last year, they were doing an interview, and I forget who they were talking to, but they asked the question about finally changing PSN IDs, and the response mm-hmm. was, well, my hope is that the next time we're here at PlayStation Experience talking about things, that this isn't even a discussion.
Yeah, that's what I said that earlier.
And
yeah.
There's no show.
And there's no show. Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it. Because they can't deliver. They can't deliver. Sean Layden,
by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. So let's get to our picks of the week. And it looks like I'm the only one picking something. So I'll just go try to go through this.
I basically got brutalized by work this week, so I didn't have time to come up with anything.
Yeah. So my pick this week is the CoinOps front end for the PC. CoinOps is something that's been around on the original Xbox for quite a long time. It's basically a conglomeration of a whole bunch of emulators configured really well. It's given you all of the, you know, the media and banners and all that stuff to make it a nice experience on the console. Well, this front end has been ported over to the PC. And what's great about it is it's pretty much unzip and go.
I'm fucking in. I'm in.
Yeah. The only thing you need to do is just add your ROMs in, but all of the configuration is done for you. This, you know, problematic games like, you know, Robotron or Smash TV that have to have you configure two joysticks by default are all working. They've got Xbox 360 / Xbox One controller mappings already in there. It's a great, great little front end. Looks
that fantastic. Sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah. To top it off, it also supports Hyperspin themes. So if you want to make it look even more fancy, you can do that as well. It's a great little front end. I think downloads range from about 12 to 30 gigabytes. So, you got yourself some gaming to do. Whereas for ROMs, well, you're gonna have to find those on your own. But if you can use Google, you can find ROMs. So there it's you go. So that's mine. How about you guys?
Yeah. I decided to pick the Internet Waifu Wars. So those of you who don't know, Nintendo recently they announced the new version of what was it? New Super Mario Brothers or Super Mario Brothers Wii?
Oh God.
Yeah.
I know.
And as you remember, there was a big talk about the fact that they had introduced the Peach Crown, which would allow characters like Toadette, who was because they had replaced Princess Peach with Toadette for whatever reason, to take on the image of Princess Peach and have all of her gliding powers and stuff. And some enterprising individual came up with a funny idea of if you remember at the end of Super Mario Odyssey. Where, basically Peach rejects both Mario and Bowser, some guy came up with a nice little four-panel, young comic where Bowser had the idea to take the Peach crown and put it on himself. And so Bowsette was born.
Yes.
Pretty much took over the internet.
The internet was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's pretty much everywhere now.
And Sakurai has, I think someone has in fact managed to talk him down from the ledge of the roof that he was standing on.
Yeah.
God damn it, internet.
Yeah.
We do not deserve Smash Ultimate.
Yeah. See, the thing is, though, her color scheme doesn't even match Bowser. So What the hell?
No, but yeah.
But then that's people came up with the idea of, hey, what if we took this beach crown and we put it on a Boo? And then suddenly Boozette was born. And now someone decided, let's put it on a chain chomp. And now Chompette is born. And now there's like a three-way war between the waifus. And the rest of us are just like, well, people have way too much time on your hands.
Yeah, see, I don't mind stuff like this as a one-off joke. It's when it turns when it takes on a life of its own, then I start to get kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
And it just sprays all over my social media feeds like herpes.
Yeah, I was wondering why. Like, I got back into town and saw all this Bowsette shit all over it. And I was like, what the fuck is Bowsette?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now you know. Even though you probably wished you didn't.
Well, I'm already
not gonna lie, Brandon, I kind of did.
It's just that stupid joke that went on too long.
Yeah. All right.
I have one, and I'll send the link. But this is what I want you guys to do. So for anybody that's playing, that's gonna play Forza Horizon 4, there's a person on Mixer that is running. So in the game, you get these things called influence points, which are basically the fans from Forza Horizon 3. Uh-huh. And you can gain influence by watching a stream or streaming yourself. And there's a person that has a stream up that is just basically the attract mode of the game, and you can set it to audio only and just let it run in a browser tab. And there's no audio, there's nothing playing. Let it run in a browser tab, and you basically get 500 XP points every 5 minutes. And that equals out to like 6,000 an hour. And so people are already into like level 300 and 400 just by leaving this browser up. And so it's a good way to get you a boost in the game, because every time you level, you get a wheel spin. So if you guys are interested, like I'm looking at it right now, I've earned 21,000 influence while we've been on the, since I started it up like earlier this afternoon before we jumped on the podcast. Yeah. So that's 21,000 fans. And that'll get me levels and everything else like that. There's no way they're not going to nerf this into the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's no
way. Do they not have, like, exponential XP requirements for each level?
No. I mean, they do get higher and higher and higher. But, like, a friend of mine did it this morning. He'd been playing he'd had the influence stuff going since, like, yesterday. And he jumped up 66 levels when he logged in today.
I'd have figured that would level out at some point where there's no point.
I don't know, maybe, but he also got 66 wheel spins. So he ended up stupidly flush with Cass. I expect them to nerf the fuck out of this by Tuesday. But if any of you are planning on doing it, it'll at least get you, you know, some obscene easy levels, you know, for a little while. So if you open up the browser tab and just leave it going, you know, it's a good way to get some levels. Even if you're not, and the thing is, it carries over. So even if you don't have the game, when you eventually get the game and you log in your account has to be linked, obviously. You have to be doing it with your gamer tag. but once you do that, and then you finally do log into Horizon, you know, it's possible, depending on how much you've been able to bank before they nerf it, you could end up being like level 100 at the beginning of the game. And that'll drastically change the course of like the kind of money that you have and things like that. Because they have you buying properties in the game as a way to get fast travel points and things like that. So at least even just doing this means you could buy a bunch of the properties without any issue and not worrying about money. So, and the interesting part about this is in every other previous game, they've always had some weird, obscene thing for like at the beginning, like the first 2 weeks of the game, there's always money glitches or XP glitches. They seemingly had put this in here with the intention for this to work, but I don't think that they expected people to just do audio only and then leave the thing running all fucking day. But I mean, this is the internet. Like my 13-year-old would have thought of that shit.
Yeah. You know,
like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, put your link there, and we'll get people to go there. Chris, you got some sales.
Yeah, there's a bunch of new sales on PSN.
Uh-oh.
There's a THQ Nordic sale, which, as Phil knows, they put a bunch of their games on sale for stupid cheap.
All the time.
Yeah, like $4 for Da Blob. Like, a bunch of their games are $4. A lot of their smaller stuff. There are... Let me see. Lox Quest, I think, is real cheap, like $4. I think the Darksiders games are not stupid cheap this time around.
No.
Yeah, they're like half off at best, so stay off of that. I'm trying to find I think the Red Faction stuff is actually pretty cheap. The new remaster for Guerrilla is half off, $15.
Yeah, remastered.
Yeah. And Red Faction 1 and 2 are both like $1.50.
Well, they're not
worth getting for the PS2.
Yeah, they're not stupid cheap, but the Darksiders pack for 1 and 2 is $23, it looks like.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad, but if you're going to buy Darksiders 3, there's a pack that actually includes those two as well.
So. Yeah. Well, normally I think they go on sale for, I think, like $5, so that is still kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, Cinemara EX is $2 for a good shmup there. Titan Quest is $9.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good price for a game that's still a little bit janky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see, there are PS Plus specials, including a decent amount of recent stuff here. I think the Golf Club 2019 featuring PGA Tour is on sale for 25% off.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. The Metal Slug Double X is half off, $10. The Anthology is $10. That's the PS2 Anthology. King of Fighters 14 is $12. Let me see. Yeah, Nier Automata is back on sale again for half off. Rock Band 4 Rivals is $36. Spin Tires is on sale for half off. I think that's the first sale it's had on console.
I'm not sure I'd buy that anyway, but...
Yeah, it's one of those simulator games that people get weird about.
Yeah.
Where you get dragged down, like you're driving trucks through the mud, like really thick mud. And so you're trying to, you know, drive around weird ways around the environment.
Yeah.
Galaxy is $5. The game's real good. Metal Slug 3 is $7.49. Trying to see what else is here. There's the Elder Scrolls Online for $10. If you want to check that out. The special anniversary bundle for King of Fighters 14 is $30.
Yeah, that'd be worth getting.
Yep. And yeah, that's largely it there. And there's some regular stuff that's on sale. The Battlefield 1 Premium Pass, I think it's on all platforms, PC, Xbox, and PS4 is free until Tuesday. So if you don't have that, that is a good thing to get. Yeah. Whenever the regular game is on sale. Moss is on sale. I think it's $26 with the soundtrack. I think it's like $22.49 regular. That's definitely one of the best PSVR games that's come out recently. I think the Crash Bandicoot trilogy is $24 on a pretty good sale. And I think The Last of Us Remastered is on sale for $8. So you can sort of get ready for the release of that at some point. They had a bunch of like avatars and theme available for free, but that was just for the one day. That is the outbreak day.
Yep.
They have set up for like a holiday for that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, some and there's like a Harvest Moon. A couple of those games are on sale. Wonderful Life Special Edition and Save the Homeland, two PS2 games, are $7.49, half off. Yeah, some decent stuff.
Yeah. Alrighty. So with that, I want to remind you guys that if you haven't subscribed to the show, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. You can also check us out at SmashPad.com, where we've got reviews and other fun stuff. So for Brandon Perkins, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Lee Lamb, we'll see you next week.